to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
Welcome to another edition of the YONation.com podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and this week I am joined by my two compatriots, Brad Reed.
Hello there.
And Connor Cunningham.
Hello, everybody.
Together, we are your YONation podcasting trio of terror, or something like that. So,
I'll go with that. That sounds great.
The trio of terror. And terror is exactly what the Wyoming Cowboys faced this weekend, boys, with a very disappointing loss that brings their record to 3-3, the final score being Hawaii 38, Wyoming 28. I don't even know where to begin. But first, let's just, anybody who's listening to this, thank you for sticking with us the past couple weeks. We have been in transition. I have moved back to the Rocky Mountain region, and so from now on till the rest of the season, we should be podcasting. So here's a round of applause for that, I guess.
Studio audience is really alive tonight, Chad.
Yes, so even all right.
After,
so
even after the loss.
Even after the loss, they are a happy crowd.
Mm-hmm. So I don't even know where to begin. As I said, we're going to kind of just make this a free-for-all. There's a lot of angst. If you are on the Wild Nation forums, you could see there's just a lot of different opinions out there. So we are here to be your therapy session and try to get some of these concerns, these complaints. And then most importantly, how do we fix things from here going forward? That's what we're trying to hear to answer today. So, Brad, I guess, where do you begin?
I was going to say, for being a therapy department, we sure do offer a lot of solutions that are revolve around alcohol. As we take a sip. Yeah, you know, that first half, like so many other first halves of the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, is, you know, they get your hopes up, and then you get crushed. And I don't know if anybody was reading my tweets Saturday night, but I was caught myself giving frequent updates on my drinking status, because that's pretty much what the second half drove me to. That and the fact that Root Sports Northwest and the Mountain West could not be on the same page, and it was blacked out for Connor and I being in Montana, which is not very helpful. But it looks like I probably wanted to miss the second half anyways. But thank God for Twitter and you guys and your snark kept me alive and going that night. So that's pretty much where I'm at.
Okay, so I guess of the three of us, I'm the only one who actually witnessed this atrocity in HD on my television.
I was I spent the night with Dave and Kevin.
Okay, so you listened to it.
Yep.
And then did you have it on? You had Dave and Kevin on as well, Brad.
No, I just was watching Mike Varell and Robert Gagliardi do their tweeting, because
okay.
I was mostly just too lazy to go to the radio and listen to it.
Okay, well, that is incredibly lazy, and I'm very disappointed in you.
I mean, I was sitting right there, and I didn't even want to do that.
All right, well, as you said, as we were talking before we came on the air, Connor, the first half, you know, went pretty well. We jumped out to that 14-0 lead, you know, a good drive by the offense. You get a fumble return for a touchdown. You're up 14-0. You're thinking, hey, this is going to be easy. So, in your opinion, what happened?
I agree. I mean, the first quarter alone, it couldn't have gone better for our team. You know, Hawaii drove a little bit down the field right after we went down. We got a 3-and-out right away. Scored a touchdown, and then Hawaii drove a little bit, and we came up with a big defensive play, a turnover, and it turned into a touchdown, and all of a sudden we're up 14-0, and you're pretty confident. You think, you know, Craig Bull's system should hold a lead, run the ball, run the clock, you know, still put points up. And then Hawaii, you know, they brought it to 14-10, and then we answered right before half with another touchdown. So we went into half 21-10 with all the momentum. Things looked good, looked great. I was excited, and then even through the third quarter, you know, we're up. What was it? It had to have been 28-17 until the last play of the third quarter. Hawaii scored, and I started getting a little nervous. And sure enough, we all know what happened after that. But I don't know what happened. We couldn't tackle. It was reminiscent of Dave Christensen's run defense. I've watched the highlights a little bit. And I don't know. We have a lot of work to do, and Craig Bull, I think, has got his hands full for the rest of the season, at least, because this football team has a lot of issues, I think.
Yes, and there are no what's the word I'm looking for? It's not because of him.
It's not, right? No, it's not because of him, but he has his hands full trying to coach up some players that maybe weren't coached up the last few years.
Exactly.
He's got some depth problems to figure out, too.
Yeah.
I think it came out yesterday or today, I don't remember, that, you know, it looks like we've lost Darren White for the season or for a significant amount of time. And we're already pretty thin there in the secondary, and, you know, now it's going to fall onto a couple of guys who haven't really, you know, seen a ton of playing time to, you know, get them battle ready, basically.
Exactly. And as we know, any program, any winning program is built in two areas. You have to be strong in there, and it is the backbone of your team, and that's on the offensive and the defensive lines. And that's where we absolutely got completely worked over by Hawaii. And, of course, Hawaii, you know, they have the Polynesian pipeline. They have, you know, a lot of big athletic guys. But there's still no excuse for what I saw from the offensive line. I know we have a few injuries. But, I mean, pretty much every play, one of the five offensive linemen was missing, just completely missing the guy right in front of him. Hawaii wasn't doing it. They weren't blitzing or coming with these, you know, exotic zone blitzes. They were just lining up and manhandling us up front, offensively and defensively. And so I'll ask you, Brad, because you have been the guy who we talked about this, the defense, and especially the defensive line. Of, we thought that, oh, maybe we've turned the corner and this new scheme has gotten the defensive line to click. But it seems like in this loss to Hawaii, we've taken a big step back.
Yeah, that's really surprising because, you know, Hawaii was missing their first-string running back, Joseph Iosefa, who is a pretty legitimate running back, but he was absent for this game, and they were relying on their, what was it, like third-string running back or something like that? And it's like, what do you even say about that? You know, I just don't know how we allowed, you know, maybe we still were, you know, I think we were maybe led to believe that, you know, maybe this defensive line's going to be pretty good. You know, we got a new, we got a coach that's, you know, defensive base, you know, we got to improve, but, you know, maybe we're still seeing some depth issues right there. And I think our interior defensive line is still have some depth issues. And it seems like, Eddie Yarbrough has been mostly absent this year. I mean, I don't think he's really compiled a lot of statistics, you know, tackles for loss, you know, anything compared to what he was doing last year. And I think we talked about this all over Twitter, Connor. You know, I think our defensive line finally got their first sack of the season.
Nope, they didn't roll a sack. They just a tackle for a loss.
Yeah, so we didn't even. So our defensive line is still sackless through, what are we, six games in?
Six games in now, yes.
I think they have a sack. Yeah, I think Mertens has a sack, but the defensive ends have zero sacks, and they had double digits combined last year.
I think Eddie Yarbrough was responsible for nearly double digits himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been mostly absent from the stat line this year. And that was supposed to be a strength, so. You know, maybe we're still seeing some depth issues. Maybe, you know, I don't know if Hawaii's offensive line was that good. I mean, they're big, but I don't know that they were terrific. So, it's just, I have no idea. It seems like the linebackers are playing exceptionally well. Wasn't it Devin Harris that had that returned fumble for the touchdown there in the first quarter?
Yep, correct. On a strip sack from Mark Nzacha.
Yeah, and Nzacha had the strip, and Harris had the return. So, you know, it seems like our linebackers might be playing, you know, well. But, yeah, it seems like our front four is just getting run over right now. Which is weird because, you know, we held Air Force in check pretty well. We held Oregon, you know, to slightly lower statistics than they would like. So, I don't know. That's going to be a strength.
An interesting statistic comparing the line men. We've allowed 26 sacks on the year, and we have 4 overall total. One of those from a defensive lineman. Mertens has one. So 26-4 in sacks. And then if you look at tackles for losses, our opponents have 47 and we have 23.
That sounds about right. And it seems like that we're probably at the top of the Mountain West in a negative way in sacks allowed this year, too.
I think we might be one of the worst in the country.
Yeah, that is the point. And I was going to say now, Colby Kirkegaard looked pretty good in the first half, but the problem is the offensive line, as I said, is just fundamentally can't block. And so when he starts to get, you know, play after play having to run for his life, it affects how he throws the ball. And you saw that with some of the interceptions that he threw late in the game that were very costly. So I really, really can't blame him. He's really kind of come along, and he looks a lot more comfortable than he did when the season first started. But that offensive line, and especially if you're going to be a run-based team, your offensive line at the very least, okay, if you can't pass block, that's fine, but you have to be able to run block. And the run blocking, especially in between the tackles, is basically non-existent. We get no push. If you notice, pretty much every single one of our big rushing plays comes from when the running back either by design kicks it outside or kicks it outside because he's about to get nailed up the middle. Have you guys noticed that as well throughout the season?
I don't know, because Root Sports Northwest blocked me from watching.
Well, I'm talking about throughout the season as well. This is not a new trend. But yes, Root Sports, you do suck. You lied on your guide.
You will burn for that, Root Sports.
I don't know. I think we've ran the ball. I mean, you see flashes of it up the middle, but is that because of blocking, or is it because Sean Wick runs so hard that he breaks a tackle and then busts it into the secondary, which I think is the case more often than it isn't for those up the middle runs.
Definitely. It's the eye test. Our offensive line isn't doing what needs to be doing. And as I should remember, pretty much all these guys were brought in to pass block and, you know, in a kind of a zone-based wide split spread system. So they're completely switching over.
Well, look at all the injuries we've got on the offensive line, too. We've got, you know, a ton of guys that have missed significant time.
Yeah, let's go. What's going on with these appendectomies?
Two. There's been two this season so far.
Yeah, for starters. I
mean, that's not even like, that's a football injury. That's just like you wake up in the middle of the night and you kind of want to die because it hurts so bad.
Yeah, that's true.
What kind of luck is that for a head coach to be like, oh, yeah, two of your starting offensive linemen, yeah, they had appendectomies.
It's bad luck. And I guess we should say, now, we're being critical here, but I should also add on that, you know, good Wyoming teams have gone to Hawaii before and gotten just lost. So no one's going to say this is a good or great Wyoming team.
Well, and, you know, there's always the stigma of playing on the island. Like, Hawaii always plays far better on the island than they do anywhere else. I think they're winless in, like, their last, like, I read something the other day, and I just can't remember what, but Hawaii is winless in, like, a ton of their last road games. But at home, that's where they win their games, and Washington and Oregon State both had pretty close calls on the island.
Yeah,
and
so it's
Hawaii had their own close call with Northern Iowa, but still.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play. And so we just have to remember that, hey, this is year one of Craig Bohl. This is a long-term process. And if you look at the depth chart right now, really there's only a handful of freshmen, true freshmen, that he brought in for his system who are playing. I think, actually, when I looked at it, I think it was two. We had the left tackle, Cummings, who's out of the Denver metro area. He did a great job. I didn't notice any missed blocks on the left side of the line. It was coming from the center, and the right side of the line was pretty bad.
I think Craig Bohl mentioned today in his press conference that Cummings did have, you know, maybe a couple missed tackles, but I think the early impression on Ryan Cummings is he's probably going to be a pretty good offensive lineman for us.
Well, if you're a true freshman and you're starting at left tackle, that's pretty darn good anywhere, at any school.
I just noticed this, that the Bighorn Basin does have two offensive linemen for the Cowboys, being Eli Moody from Lovell and Jesse Wilson from Cowley. Cowley, of all places.
Okay. Just and then... Yeah, and then the other thing I want to say is I was looking at some of the true freshmen who are redshirting this year, and outside of Cummings, I think there are three other offensive linemen who are of already prototypical NCAA size who will be playing next year. So remember, Bowl's not going to be like Christensen or even like Dana Dimmel back in the day, to where he's going to burn a redshirt, you know, just to win a single game. He's thinking long-term, so...
Well, and Cummings was a must to burn. I mean, burning a redshirt is kind of a misnomer because a redshirt can be taken at any time during a player's career, so, you know, just because, you know, Cummings or the running back Brian Hill, you know, just because they've played their freshman year, there's still the opportunity there to redshirt, so...
That's a very good point, but you understand the psychology of a player is you don't see it very often because if you're good enough to play as a freshman... Most of them don't want to sit out that next year or as a junior, but that is a good point, Brad.
But it comes in handy as a, you know, if a guy suffers an injury, you know, you can put him on redshirt and, you know, you're still cool. You still get that full four years and maybe a developmental year in there.
Exactly. So the big turning point of the game to me, guys, and I'll get your thoughts, is I would almost venture to say that there was probably a very good chance we had won the game if we didn't break the foot of the quarterback for Hawaii. In the very last play of the first half, we fractured his foot.
He's an Ohio State transfer.
And the backup comes in and just tears us apart. And you see that a lot sometimes, to where, especially when you go from a pocket passer to a guy who is more mobile. And mind you, Hawaii changed their entire system. Benched that guy. What was his name again? Brad, you know his name. I forget.
Which guy? The quarterback? Woolsey
was like, you know, he's like your dual threat quarterback, but he sucked, so they benched him, and they brought in the Big Ten transfer. You know, he's your prototypical Big Ten pocket passer, and he was terrible, but we broke his foot. Woolsey comes in, and he terrorizes us because...
He was 8 of 9, and his first completion was a touchdown.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, do you think it's just...
hell? How does that happen? Oh, guy, come off the bench and throw a touchdown. No big deal, right?
Do you think it's just a case to where we were preparing for the pocket passer, and then once the other guy came in, everything just fell apart because they weren't prepared to deal with it?
You know, things like that change the momentum of a game. I mean, you know, momentum on the sideline even, you know, maybe just like, all right, you know, we're getting beat, you know, 14-0 or whatever the score was at halftime. And now it's, backup quarterback comes in, he throws a touchdown on his first pass. All right, we got this. We're winning. So they can change the momentum of a game really quickly. And sometimes head coaches gamble with that without there being an injury. And this time Hawaii was fortunate to have an injury, and Woolsey came in and tore us apart.
That's true. And we've left Connor out of the conversation here for a few minutes. Sorry, Connor.
He looks sleepy on the webcam.
No worries. I'm listening. I'm educating.
All right. Yes, it's good. Do you have anything to add about our little quarterback exchange there?
You know, I don't know if it was a case of preparation. I think because Hawaii didn't really announce who was starting. So I think maybe we had to prepare for both guys, but maybe they got too comfortable defending one particular quarterback, and in the second half, you know, they weren't ready for it. They didn't notice the change or anything. I don't know. If we're talking about what's possibly lost us the game, we could talk about one particular play that I wasn't thrilled about.
Okay,
and
yeah.
We had the ball on the 34-yard line going in, and we had 3rd and 4, and we ran the ball with Sean Wick, I believe. I'm not positive, but it was the... Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Okay. It was the 4th and 4, and we decided to kick a 51-yarder. And in Hawaii, the air's a little bit different than it is in Laramie, if you guys didn't know. about 7,200 feet.
Difference, plus about 80 to 90% more humidity.
Exactly. So I would have liked to seen us go for it on fourth there instead of trying a 51-yarder. And that's I think that kind of cost us the game, honestly. It gave Hawaii great field position. It was later in the game, and we didn't have a chance after that because Hawaii
went and scored. What was the score at that point? We were down three?
We were down four, I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And then they answered on that next drive with a touchdown, correct?
Yeah, we might have been winning, actually, and they might have went down and taken the lead. I'm not positive.
Okay, I'm trying to remember, too. It was late, mind you.
Yeah, it was in the fourth quarter. I know that. So we're
okay.
But I would have liked, I don't know, that 51-yarder in Hawaii, that's tough. That's tough.
That's a kick that Stuart Williams would probably make in Laramie. And he had the line on it, but he just didn't have the distance.
Yeah,
that's
it was
what it sounded middle. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was dead middle. Like, I thought he made it, and then it must have been within a yard short.
Maybe so, yeah. Some guy in a Buffalo Wild Wings there in Honolulu, like, hit the button and turn the fans
yeah,
on.
Yeah, turn those fans on. Damn you, Buffalo Wild Wings.
And I know there is a Buffalo Wild Wings in Honolulu because Mike Varell posted a picture of eating there.
Oh, there we go. We'll blame him.
One of Hawaii's exotic eateries.
Mike Varell. Oh, and while we're on that, we forgot to mention at the top of the show, Brad has some YO Nation Twitter news.
Oh, yeah. I hit 2,000 followers this week. That's so exciting.
Not I. It's we.
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 2,000 followers. That's so exciting.
Thank you, all of you.
But seriously, hit the follow button. You'll love it. It's football. It's commentary. It's how much Jägermeister Brad can drink in the course of one game. It's terrific.
My yes,
liver
so
says
remember.
Different, but whatever.
At yonation.com, spelling out the dot. Most people don't
com.
Do that. And
unique.
The com.
It is unique.
It is unique. All right. Before, this is the last thing I want to say, and then we'll start talking about what the Cowboys do going forward. But I'm still, play calling wise, I still think that we're not using our players to the best of their ability. Now, Colby Kirkegaard seems to be a pretty effective passer outside the numbers and when he's on the move. But for some reason, they're wanting to keep him in the pocket. I mean, he's not a mobile quarterback by any means. He's not going to run past you, but he's mobile enough to move around, you know, to create space, to keep the play alive. And I would just like to see to get him, you know, if you know that you can't block up the middle and people are blitzing us and he's having a run for his life, well, why not add a little more, you know, natural bootlegs to where he's rolling out to the right and he could throw those quick outs that he's pretty good at throwing. It's just I want to see more creativity from the offense. I mean, I understand that they're trying to establish the system, this hard nose, let's run the ball, let's, you know, impose our will. But as you can see, we don't have the players to do that right now. So I think the coaches need to do just a little better job of kind of altering their system to the talent we have, and we're going to have a better chance going forward. What are your guys' thoughts on that observation?
Well, it seems like Colby has had a lot of success throwing the ball long downfield. You know, he's hit several passes that have gone for, you know, 50, 60 yards this year. So if, you know, we've got the talent at wide receiver is there. I mean, Jalen Claiborne's a good receiver. Dominic Rufran's a good receiver. Tanner Gentry's a good receiver. You know, let's put those guys to use. They were recruited for a passing offense. Let's maybe run some pass, you know, pass offense there and, you know, get those guys into space and open them up. But to your point, Chad, I kind of agree. And, you know, to get my plug in there, I've seen, you know, that's what Montana, they've had to, with Jordan Johnson, they've had to adopt their passing attack this year because the offensive line has just been so poor that they've used Johnson, you know, on bootlegs, on design bootlegs to get him out of the pocket because the protection's breaking down. So they get him out of the pocket, roll him out, throw it into the flat, and, you know, just pick up short yardage. So I think the concept is, I think the idea of what you said is probably pretty good.
Yes, and I have one more point. One more point to make, too. Now, a lot of people are calling for screens to be ran. And
except for that inside screen, that didn't work so well.
Well, I don't know. It's just with some players, to me, Kierkegaard looks really very, very uncomfortable when executing the screens. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if it's a communication thing, but he just doesn't look comfortable to me throwing these screens passes, and they should be there. They're easy passes to make, but I think the problem is he's always under so much pressure that when you allow them to, you know, come up the middle on a screen as you do on purpose, he's rushing those passes, and they're inaccurate. And there's yards to make in the screen game, but you know, just some quarterbacks, they don't do a very good job of executing that. Have you noticed that as well, Connor?
As far as the screen passes, you know, I haven't noticed anything. Again, I didn't get to watch the game on Saturday, so I don't know what happened there. I do know, didn't we score on one screen play to DJ May?
DJ May, and that's the guy you want on a screen. True. That guy can flat out scoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess I haven't noticed anything in particular. I just know that anytime that Kierkegaard has any pressure, he just doesn't feel comfortable, and I can't blame him. The guy's been sacked 26 times this year. Some his fault, as Craig Bull mentioned in his press conference, you know. Some his fault, some the scheme, some the protection and coverage. So it's tough. I don't know about the play calling. It's hard because the personnel just isn't there for Craig Bull to do what he wants, I don't think. And I think sometimes you got to just coach your personnel. And I think we need to get the ball in our receivers' hands a little bit more. Rufren especially, because he's as good as they are in the Mountain West, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that we need to go and we need to start throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game, but I'm just saying give right. Kierkegaard a chance to do what he does best when you throw the ball. That's what a good coach does. And I'm not saying right. Bull's a bad coach, but I think there needs to be a little more of a rethink, and maybe they'll do that. I hope so, because, as we said, we have the opportunity. We could win every game on our schedule if we play to our ability, but we're going to have to need – they're going to need coached up, and we need solid game plans, and we're going to have to be a little more unpredictable than we have been.
Yep, I agree, and we could we're looking at this thing, and we sound negative, but we are 3-3. Our season's not quite over, so –
Boise State's looking very beatable right now.
Yeah, so they're all beatable, and it starts this weekend. You know, I'll bounce back, get a win, homecoming, home game. The crowd should be pretty decent, I think, because it is homecoming, and we're still, you know, we're in mid-October. The weather should be decent, and so.
But is it the middle of hunting season?
It is true. I mean, yeah, but.
Is an opening weekend here pretty quick?
I'm not sure, but.
Stop putting put hunting into people's minds, Brad.
Exactly.
Sorry, people like to kill things.
You know what? Someone may be listening to this podcast right now. You know. Hey, let's take the family and go up to Laramie and watch the game. And then you're just saying, hey, doesn't hunting season open? And you know what? Someone might say, you know what? It is. Let's go, son. Let's go hunt.
I don't know if I've ever seen anybody be like, oh, man, I missed opening day because of a football game. Are you kidding?
I know.
That's what I was talking about, though. I think this weekend's a perfect opportunity, you know, for them to bounce back. They have a home game, it's homecoming, and there's a lot of excitement around homecoming, regardless, and the friendly confines of the War Memorial Stadium at 7,200 feet. Let's do it.
That's right. So we have 6 games left. So really, this is kind of a reset on the season. So let's see what happens here. As we said, every game is winnable going down the stretch, though I'm here in the Denver area now, and so everybody, you know, is kissing the behinds of CSU now because, you know, they're good again or something. But
does anybody really care about CSU?
No, they're pumping them up here, though, folks. And so, I mean, that's going to be on the road. That's going to be very difficult. That's probably the most difficult game we have left.
Oh, yeah. Here's a fun fact. San Jose State has not been to Laramie since 1997.
And I was at that game where – I do believe that the San Jose State kicker in that game kicked like a 67-yard field goal or something crazy. Can someone look that up to see if that's on there? He kicked some crazy kick. I remember. It was nuts. I think they beat us.
No. Wyoming won that game 30-10.
Oh,
we won the game? Okay, but okay. Well, they're 3 points. The kicker kicks some crazy, like 69-yard field goal.
Oh man, I hope.
Can you bring up the box score? Look for the box score for that game. Let's get the crack staff on that. Yeah, I thought we lost.
Wikipedia, don't fail me now.
I just remember the long kick. That was in the first year of the old WAC, or the 16-team WAC, which was the first super conference, by the way, folks. So everybody laughed at the WAC, but guess now what? Everybody's at 16 teams. Or trying to get to 16, you know? So the WAC was way ahead of the curve back in the day. It was just they were too far ahead of the curve for it to succeed. Plus Utah, BYU were a bunch of bitches. And they were whining and crying. They destroyed the conference.
The Big Sky Conference is currently at 13 teams. I don't even know how that got pulled off.
Yeah, anyway.
Man, there's nothing on Wikipedia about this.
Okay, well, it's fine. The guy kicked a long kick. It was crazy.
Basically, the internet barely existed in 1997.
That's true, so nobody saw it. I was there, though.
We were on a dial-up modem, like, come on, load. Come on, load.
All right, so we've talked. We've raised a lot of issues. I thought we've been pretty fair. If you don't think we've been fair, you could bother us on Twitter or go on the forum and say, hey, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Please, feedback.
You could be like those mouth breathers from Boise State and like flame my Twitter account and say how awful of a human being I am.
Yeah, feedback is feedback. But so now let's to kind of wrap all this up. We've offered some suggestions, so I'll ask each of you, and we'll start with Connor here. Connor, how do we fix this going forward? What can we do to ensure that I don't know if I want to put the emphasis on getting to a bowl game because I want us to get to a bowl game. I think we're more than capable of getting 3 wins in these last 6 games and getting to a bowl game. But I don't want that to make it look like, you know, hey, we've arrived or anything, because obviously we have a lot of issues switching from a spread offense to this run-based West Coast offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't want people to, you know, put the cart in front of the horse. But I think we can be a pretty good team with the talent we have. So going forward, what would you like to see to kind of fix things that we've seen that have been a problem thus far in the first 6 games?
I think it starts on the interior on both sides of the ball. You know, if the defense can start to pressure the quarterback, that always causes turnovers. And on the offense, if we can protect the quarterback, it's going to lead to more opportunities to move the ball. So I think in order to correct things this year, we're going to have to try to protect the quarterback and get after the other quarterback.
There we go. So we've come full circle. That was basically our first point of this podcast.
Chad, just so you know, did you happen to be at War Memorial in 1992?
Maybe for, well, I don't know. I think my first Wyoming game could have been in 92.
Because Joe Nedney for San Jose State knocked in a 60-yarder.
You know what? That might have been the game I was at.
That's as much as I could find.
Okay. That might have been the game. So
where
I might have been thinking of the 92 game. Holy mackerel, 1992.
Now, yeah, I was 1 year old.
I'm not that old. I'd have been 10 years old back then. But that must have been the game because I remember San Jose State kicking some crazy long field goal. That has to be it.
Joe Nedney had an NFL career.
And Joe Nedney was, like, yeah, a longtime kicker for the Titans.
And the Cardinals.
And, yeah, so there you go. I think that had to be it. Because I think I moved to Wyoming in 1991 or early 92. I don't know. Do you have the schedule up for that 92 season?
I don't. I just have October 3rd, 1992. Okay.
That could be it.
They won 26-24.
That might be it. All
right. Yeah, if you're ever wondering, there's a website for field goals 60 yards or more ever. Okay. All of them listed right there.
Nice. Okay. That has to be it because there's no other one listed, is there?
Mm-mm, not for San Jose State.
Okay. So that's it. There you go. This is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. God bless you, Internet.
I can't even believe that Connor was putting the Google machine to that much use.
Yeah.
I was talking while I was looking for that. Multitasking.
God, these young whippersnappers.
Uh-huh.
Actually, College Football Database has the schedule for 1992 as well.
Okay, did we play Oregon State that year? Because I remember going to that game.
Nope.
Was that 93?
93, we played Oregon State and lost.
Okay, so see, it might not have been 92 because I know for sure that I went to games in 93, but 92 is a little, I can't remember.
Actually, fun thought there, 1993 was my first Wyoming game.
Okay, well, there you go.
Made the trek down from Warland to see the Border War.
Oh, nice. That game we lost, yes. That was the only Wyoming game I've ever left early.
I still have a little commemorative coin they gave out that game.
Yes, I have that too.
I carried it in my pocket every single day.
100 years, a million cheers.
Yes, that is it. I have it in my pocket every single day.
So there you go, folks. If you remember that, the 100th anniversary of Wyoming football back then. Wow. And Connor was, you were 1 year old. You'd been 1 and 2. Good Lord, we're old, Brad.
People were still changing his diapers during that game.
Hey, I was actually probably at that game. So let's just get that out there.
Okay, you might have been there as a baby.
My first game was, I was like 10 days old, my first game ever, something like that.
Okay, well, awesome. Beautiful. Well, there you go. Wow, see?
Man, did
this is why podcasting is gold, folks, because you never know what's going
to
happen.
We went down to the nostalgia trap there.
It is, and we hope to do that again. As I said, our goal with this podcast is for us to talk, you know, give people something to listen to, but we're trying to get some, you know, names from the past onto the show, and we'll be working hard on that to get, you know, former players, former coaches, get you guys some interviews, things that you don't get from the regular mainstream media. Is that not right, Mr. Brad Reed, founder of WildNation.com?
Absolutely correct. Okay.
All right.
One of these days, we're actually going to get our group together and do that.
Yes. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up.
Let's get some predictions going for this game.
Oh, you want to do predictions? Okay, sure.
And we haven't even talked about last week's Mountain West. Holy cow.
Who cares? I don't care about the rest of the conference.
UNLV got a win.
Well, that's good for them.
They beat Fresno State, okay, and that's hilarious.
Oh, well. All right, well, Connor. Connor is he's chiming in first, so let's let him give his look into your crystal ball.
Oh man, my crystal ball. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna be a homer. I have to be a homer. I don't want to be like a Chad over there. So let's go. Let's go. 27-21.
27-21, Wyoming.
Yeah, I think we have one of those touchdowns is defensive. I think we make something happen.
It's a touchdown, okay.
All right, there it is.
All right,
I'll be
Brad.
There. Laramie, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Prediction time. Well, given that we've only scored a maximum of 28 points this year, and San Jose State's coming in with the 22nd ranked defense... Although, I don't know how that's possible because Auburn beat the piss out of them.
It's in yards.
Yeah. Total defense.
On yards, yes.
So, I think I'm going to go with Wyoming maybe puts up 24 points this game. San Jose State maybe puts up like 23. It's going to be a close game. The Las Vegas gambling people that make these numbers are predicting a very close game at this point, so... I'm going to say a one-point Cowboy win because, God, we can't lose to San Jose State. Can we?
We can.
Okay. We could.
We could. But, all yeah, right. One-point win, 24-23.
All right. I wasn't planning on doing predictions, so I'm very unprepared for this, but I'm going to go crazy.
It's a free-for-all. It's a free-for-all.
Crazy. I'm going to go crazy. Here's my score, 25-24 Wyoming.
Oof.
Now 25 is a very, very weird score. Yeah?
We're a very weird team.
Okay. We're going to get 25 points. We are going to we'll score a touchdown. We'll be a point down. We're going to score a touchdown in the final minute to bring us within a point. Bull will go for two, and we'll win the game 25-24.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. At home. He's going to say, screw the overtime. I'm going in right now. I'm going for two for the win.
Can you imagine the collective heart attacks that the Wyoming community suffers because of that?
Nothing that I haven't suffered from being a Wyoming fan before. So,
So there we go. So there's my crazy prediction that I hope that's not true, because that would be an awful experience, and I will be at the game as well.
Perfect.
So it's going to be awesome.
Come tailgate.
I hope to. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I will be in Denver missing both of you, so.
Yes, that's right. Brad is going to see the Broncos this weekend.
Last I checked, they play on Sundays.
Oh, burn!
We fly into Denver and don't have any way to get to Laramie. We're
You can rent a car.
We're not going to rent a car.
Rent a car.
You realize that we're going to get off the airplane like three Bloody Marys in, right?
Rent a car. Uber. Doesn't Denver have Uber? Will Uber take you to Laramie? Probably not.
Yes, they do have Uber. We used it last year when we were there.
I'm just giving you crap.
Such a handy service.
Yeah. All right. Now I think I could safely say we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening.
Before you wrap up, though,
yeah,
I give a couple shout-outs here.
Sure.
Jack, congrats on being back in the Rocky Mountains.
Yes, thank you.
Connor, congratulations on your engagement this week.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
big
that
steps
is big.
For both of you guys.
Let's get a round of applause. For me, I've moved. I mean, I lost my job. I had to find a new job. That's great. But getting married, getting engaged, that's awesome. Wow. So congrats to you, Connor.
Thank you.
Will your lovely bride-to-be be joining you in Laramie this weekend?
She will be.
Okay. Yep. Well, then maybe we'll have to meet up, and I'll get to meet the new happy couple.
All right, that'd be great.
All right, well, that was good, Brad. Thank you for mentioning all that. And thank you to all of you for listening. We appreciate it, and we hope to have podcasts from here until the end of the season. And then, you know, basketball practice started up too, boys, so I don't know, we're going to have to maybe balance that load a little bit.
Absolutely, I cannot wait for basketball season.
It's going to be good. So it's going to be a busy time, Hawaii Nation, and we thank you again for listening, and we will catch you all next week.
All right, go Pokes.